this very real hope in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning that is ours, not because of anything that we have done, but because of what God has done. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came and laid down his life willingly. And in that grave on the third day, he came out of that grave. It couldn't hold him. So we have real hope. And I'm excited over the next 2 weeks, Pastor Ken and Pastor Robert are going to share about hope. Because we know that we live in light of the resurrection. And they're going to share about hope in persecution, in suffering, and hope in the everyday. Because we do live out, everything is not a mountaintop. And so I really look forward to how they will share with us over the next couple weeks. But for now, I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles, turn to Mark 16 for just a few minutes. Now, there was a politician, British politician years ago, named John Stonehouse, who went missing. When a pile of his clothes were found at a beach in Miami, they presumed that he had drowned. It turns out, a month later, on Christmas Eve, Stonehouse was arrested in Melbourne, Australia. He had faked his death to disappear. It turns out he had assumed a new identity to run away with his mistress, and he took a lot of money with him. And he was also being investigated for being a spy. But the large sums of money that he transferred to Australia flagged suspicion, and he was eventually caught by Scotland Yard. Stonehouse's story is not unique, however. Over the years, many people have faked their own death. But today, as we gather, we're celebrating something completely different. The fact that someone who didn't fake their death, who truly died, rose again from the grave. Jesus Christ. Jesus' resurrection has tremendous significance for us. It is not just another event in history. It is the event in history. And it changed everything for us. So my prayer this morning is not only will we celebrate this wonderful truth, but that our lives will be profoundly affected by the resurrection of Christ, and that you will find joy, peace, and hope in his resurrection. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to understand this great truth that your Son did not remain in the grave, but rose again. And may it cause us to consider where we stand with you. May it cause us to live for you. And may it fill us with hope. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now in Mark chapter 9, we read this. It says, they went on from there and passed through Galilee. And he did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. They did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Never think that Jesus was caught up in some kind of unfortunate circumstance beyond his control. Jesus knew what he came here for. He came to purposely lay down his life for sinners. It was always the plan for him to die. He was on a rescue mission because our sins condemn us, and we have no way of being forgiven by our own efforts. We needed someone to step in, a mediator, someone who could intercede on our behalf. And since we're all sinners, it could not be us, it could only be Jesus. The perfect Son of God, sinless, could do this by dying on a cross, taking the punishment that should be ours upon himself. But Jesus did not say that he just came to die. Jesus said, I came to die, but I will rise again 3 days. No one can say that, make that kind of claim, and expect people to take them seriously unless they do it. Jesus claimed he could save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a trustworthy saying and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So who needs to be saved from their sin? Every single one of us. Now, if Jesus can claim that he can save sinners and that he will die on a cross and he will rise again and grant eternal life through his resurrection, which John 3:16 says, God so loved the world, he gave his only son, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. If Jesus doesn't rise from the dead, he is a liar. And that means that nothing he promised would be true. He can't forgive sins. He can't grant eternal life. So what would be the best news possible? The best news possible would be that when they came to the tomb, they would find it empty. In every single gospel account, we read in Matthew, in Mark, and look in John, that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, I asked you to turn to Mark 16. And Mark 16, verse 1 says, then the Sabbath was passed. Mary Magdalene, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they went there saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, an angel. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. And then he says this, he has risen, and he's not here. See the place where they laid him? Go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee, and that you will see him just as he told you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for they were trembling, and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. What an amazing thing. They knew Jesus died. They knew that the stone had been put over the tomb. And they went there expecting to find his body. But Jesus said, hey, I know you don't get this, but I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise again on the third day. This was no ordinary event. They left the tomb astonished, trembling, for they knew what had happened. And the angel tells them, Jesus isn't here. He is risen. Never has something so empty been filled with so much power and truth. An empty tomb meant that everything that Jesus promised, the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, was true. That those who trust in Jesus, that repent of their sins and believe in him, are serving a living Savior. Now, this is a big deal, because he said, I have power over life and death and over sin. I can forgive sin. And he proved that he does, because the tomb is empty. God does exactly as he says he will do. And the empty tomb, it stands in juxtaposition to the cold, empty promises of the world. The world promises to fulfill you with money, with power, with fame, with sex, and so many other things. But these are temporary. They don't last. It doesn't matter how much stuff you have. You don't take any of it with you. And so, these promises that the world promises are empty. Even though they say they will fulfill you. Even politicians make promises, right? But let's not ask if those are empty promises as well. But we are made to be fulfilled by more than just what we see in front of us. We are made to have a fulfilling relationship with God, to live for his glory, to have a spiritual relationship. That's what fills the inner parts of our heart and gives us meaning and purpose. 1 John 2 says this, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all the world has, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but it is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. It seems so obvious that the signal is go and fill your life with all the empty, vain things of the world. God, in contrast, communicates to us from emptiness. Jesus left his throne from heaven and came to earth, born of a virgin, sinless, perfect Son of God. He couldn't stay at the inn that was full. Instead, he had to go to the emptier stable and be born in a lowly manger. Jesus, who would go upon the cross, he vacated the cross at his death and left the cross empty. He was buried in a tomb, signifying that he died for our sin. Jesus would leave a rich man's grave empty because the grave could not hold him or keep him. He rose from the dead, and the silence of the empty tomb was deafening. He is not here. He has risen. And Jesus, he left us after rising from the dead. And though the disciples feared the emptiness of his departure, he promised the Holy Spirit to be their comforter, to live with them, to guide them. And we have the Holy Spirit. And even though they feared the emptiness without Jesus, his departure means that he was going to heaven to prepare a place for those who follow him. There is an empty spot waiting for you in heaven that you will be in one day if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. John 14:1-6 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And even though we see death in this world, we see sorrow, we see war, we see sickness and so many other things, the emptiness of heartache, Jesus will never leave us feeling empty. He promises to be with us always and to be our God forever in heaven. Revelation 21, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out from heaven, from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" Your life will be empty of death, of sickness, of sorrow. Even the tears will be gone because Jesus will personally wipe them from your eyes. Heaven cannot and will not be empty, on the other hand. It will be full of those who have put their faith in Christ, who rose from the dead. If you believe in Jesus, even if your bank account is empty, you never will be. There is real and painful heartache in this world, but you will be brought through it all into eternal life in heaven. How do we respond to the empty tomb? That Jesus is not there, that he has risen. Well, Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 28, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The first thing we must do in light of the empty tomb is we must personally, individually confess our sin before God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died, and that he rose again. When you come to him, you are forgiven. Don't sit here and say, well, God doesn't know what I've done. Oh, he does. God would never forgive me. Yes, he would. He will cleanse you completely. But you must come and confess your sins and put your faith in Christ. Secondly, go and be baptized. We are then to follow in Christ's death by baptism, which signifies his death and rising up out of the water into resurrected life. And then it says to teach and observe all that I have commanded you. We're to be obedient to God's commands. And then, of course, to the disciples, he says, now go and tell other people to do the very same thing. And that's our call. The resurrection of Christ in that power, our call is not to just enclose ourselves in a room and cut ourselves off from the world. We are called to go and share the glorious truth of the resurrected Christ to the world. And maybe they're going to think you're crazy, but we go in the power of God. If you want to live a full life and not an empty one, live for Jesus, because he's very much alive. He is the true hope of every person who wants to be fulfilled, who wants forgiveness of their sins and eternal life in heaven forever. There is great power in the empty tomb, because it is the power of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. He is not there. He has risen indeed. Father, help us to live in light of that glorious truth. May we live with the reality of resurrection power, that we go with an already victorious Christ who sits in heaven, who advocates on our behalf, that we are indwelled with the Holy Spirit who guides us and comforts us, and that we have you, O Heavenly Father, who keeps us, who gives us everything we need as your children. May we serve you faithfully. And I pray for those who maybe today is the day that they turn to Jesus and trust him as their Savior, that they would not delay or hesitate, but respond to the good news. He is not there. He has risen indeed. Amen.